Red Hot is now in production. Paul finally has his grand opening. And why does Frankie have two less shoes? We're talking about season 2, episode 6 of The Deuce. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Gets me in the zone. Yeah.
You gotta do the...
You're a natural, mate.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. You're here for another episode of the Deuce After Show. It's season 2, episode 6. We're covering the episode titled, We Are All Beasts. I'm here with my lovely beast panel. Woo! Ladies, introduce yourselves.
I'm Farah Naz Basharat.
And I'm Louisa Shar.
Awesome. And guys, I'm Nate Miller. What we are listening to right now is the Strangers cover of a song called Walk On By, a song that has a very interesting heritage. In 1969, Isaac Hayes did another cover, which is where it got very popular, but it was originally performed by Donnie Warwick and written by Burt Bacharach in 1963. So it's a really interesting cover. If you go back and listen to the original, it's very much a classic soul vocal performance, and somehow the Strangers were able to take that same song and keep the same energy, but make it punk without like completely destroying the feeling that you get from that song, in my opinion.
Thanks
so definitely
that.
Check that guys out. Yeah, so a lot of stuff in this episode. Do you guys want to give me your overall thoughts? What do you think? How do you feel in the season so far?
I loved watching them film the porn. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to see like the guerrilla style filming, working without those permits, but at the end, like always figuring out ways to make it work. I love that.
I think this is my favorite episode from all of the episodes, because I feel like they're finally having fun, and everything that they've struggled towards, it's happening. With Candy making her movie, and a lot of people just getting out of that little prostitution world, you know, I love it, and I don't want it to end.
Yeah, so I agree. Good. Some of my favorite stuff to see is when you get to see the filmmaking process on screen, because you know that they're filming with a filming crew, and it's just so meta, and it's like, well, somebody's directing this scene with a director in it, so what are they giving, like, as a filmmaker myself, like, it's really interesting to see that, and there's a ton of great little, like, jokes and nods to people in production that would get, but it's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like a film in the film.
Yeah.
Film within a film.
So I think we should just jump right into that. Yeah. With this episode, we got a lot of Candy. This is very much a Candy-centric episode, I think. Mostly just because, you know, we've been working towards this film, Red Hot, and they're finally in production, which is a really big phase when you're making a film, as that's, you know, most of the work. So we get to see them, you know, after we had her discussion with Harvey last week of deciding she's just going to shoot wherever, open up, they're just shooting on the street, presumably completely without a permit. Walking down the street, and they've got their star, which cost them a lot of money, Mr. Lance Minx.
He's too sheltered to be in that role. Thank God Larry was there. He was meant for that role. Yes, Larry.
The wolf definitely needs the Larry role.
Did you guys see that coming, that he was not going to
last? That coming. Yeah. Yeah.
He even understood what Candy wanted to deliver with that script.
Yeah.
You know, he even said, Candy, let's get rid of him.
Yeah. I think the fact that it took them 12 takes was crazy. I'm really, really enjoying watching Candy direct. She is just like... You can tell that she really cares about the product, but she also is able to emote with her actors in a way to get a performance. And she's just putting so much more into what essentially is just a run-of-the-mill pornography, but she has such these high dreams for it, and it really comes across that
way. I think that's the best part, is she really does have such high aspirations, not only, you know, to make it for herself, but she has her mother to prove to, and her son.
She's pushing the limits.
So, yeah. And it's great to see her.
Of what porn is at that time. And she's flipping it around and making it more female-focused, not just male-focused.
Yeah, we get one of my favorite lines in the episode when Larry is doing his performance and kind of goes off script. And she gives her line where she goes, man, what big eyes you have. And he says, I'm wearing Ray-Bans, you dopey bitch. And I died. It was so good. It was so good.
Well, Candy even said, let him go off script.
Yeah. Like, I am really... Genius. The turnaround for Larry's character this season has been incredible. And I actually, like... I really like the guy. I'm actually kind of rooting for him now. I still think he's a bad guy. But I feel like he's on the right path. You know?
Of course. So. He's hungry to learn. I mean, even paying Darlene.
Yeah, I was going to mention that next. Yeah. You know, we didn't get much of Darlene this episode, but what we did see, it's very interesting. Just to even visually see him giving her money is a huge, huge... I mean, I saw somebody else talking about this on Twitter last night, how we basically see Larry's just not a pimp anymore. Mm-hmm. His, I mean, we literally see his girls leave him, and we see his other girl on the street by herself. So like we're not just saying it. We're seeing that he's just not doing it anymore. So it's a really interesting character interaction. But I was half expecting him to be like halfway through the tutoring, like, wait a minute, how do you get so smart? How do you learn how to read so good or something? Like to allude to her getting her education. But I think he knows that he's just like, whatever at this point. He's so wrapped up.
He's so wrapped up in his craft. He's doing whatever it takes, especially because he lacks with his reading skills too.
Yeah. So. I think also it's a relevancy thing too, because again, that thing of like the pimps becoming not essential anymore. And now what do I do? That's been my whole identity. So now he finds something that maybe he could fit in, maybe he is good for. He wants to give it all. He doesn't want to blow this
so
shot.
So powerful.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch. We get a great scene with Harvey sweating candy. Again, being a filmmaker, this scene of the producer and the director, and he's like, you can't just spend money. And she's like, don't worry, it's fine. We got it. It's what we got to do. And the back and forth between them was great. But he really puts the pressure on her and kind of talks to her about how they are running out of cash, and they have at least a week left of shooting, and they're already $35,000 in debt. This leads to Candy coming to Frankie, and first she says, you know, your wife, who you weaseled into this movie, awful, who doesn't want to play the grandma, wants to be the aunt.
The hot aunt.
Which was hilarious.
She didn't know what really she was good. Doing, though. Awful.
No, it was
wasted
awful.
Wasted their money.
Yeah, so Candy tells him, you gotta fire, which again leads to another great scene between the two of them at the diner, and we get another surely will be quoted line from, that's not Big Mike, that's the other guy that went to jail, I can't remember his name, but he says... Yeah, when Frankie tries to change the subject.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
Oh, and he said, pie's not gonna fix this, like, you got major problems, brother.
Yeah, he says... Pie ain't gonna help none.
Yeah, is what he
said, and that was just. Oof. But I really like. I'm really enjoying the interactions we're getting with Frankie and him. They say in the post episode, they talk about in this episode, you kind of get a feel for like why Frankie's in the show, and that's exactly how I felt, because a lot of the time before, it's just like Frankie's just there to be the funny foil to Vincent. Okay, whatever. But here, he actually has a purpose, and it's kind of cool seeing him be like,
oh yeah,
hey, wait a minute, yeah. I can do this.
I like seeing the fact that Candy's production has really given a platform for the rest of the characters mm-hmm. to find their identity. Mm-hmm. You have Larry, who kind of finds his character as an mm-hmm. actor. And then you have Frankie now, who is really, you know, taking enjoyment out of being a producer on the porn. So I like watching that. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
She's given everyone some sort of voice. Mm-hmm. It's like a family. Like, here, let me help you get off the streets. I did it, so let me help you.
Yep.
And she even uses that as a tool to get exactly what she wants out of the actors.
Yep.
What she did with Lori in the car, kind of telling her to think about her past and stuff before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that later, since we're there
Oops.
No, it's fine.
Damn it, Nate.
What do you guys think of that? I thought that was just really awkward,
and I just
didn't like it at all.
It's manipulating.
Who is manipulating who? I think she was trying to connect, and Lori... I don't know, for some reason, was now being super standoffish, but the last time...
It was so awkward. I felt so uncomfortable. But like you said, I don't know, was it...
The way I saw it is that Candy was trying to
connect
with her, because she genuinely hadn't been out there in a while. She was feeling, maybe not nostalgic, not the right word, but remembering.
Right.
And she... I mean, we can go back and watch season one and watch them connect and where they met at that point. And so to see Lori be like, no, I don't remember, when she just cast you in her movie, which is going to be huge for you. And then they had that whole thing. She was pouring her heart out last episode. I thought this was really weird. The only thing this made me feel was confused. So I don't know how you feel about that.
I think last episode, Lori was just so standoffish, though. Like, when Candy tried to warm her up and stuff, Lori wasn't really into it, remember? So now this time, I think she's trying again. Again, she's not giving in. She doesn't want to build that relationship with her. That's what I feel. So I feel like that's why on purpose Candy was trying to get out that little role from inside of her. Like, here, let me give you a vision of where your life was.
I feel like if that is the intention, that the motivation wasn't clear enough.
In the scene for you to grasp that.
Yeah, or even just after how the last scene, like, yeah, she was a little standoffish in the beginning of that scene. But after she started crying and smiling and then, like, cast her in the part, I got the idea that, oh, okay, they're cool now. It didn't seem like Lori's like, all right, I'm going to take the part and be in your movie, but I'm really mad and we're not going to be close. I'm not going to try to be friends with you or anything anymore. So seems like a big spin.
The thing is, I want Lori to be best friends with Candy. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that. Thank you. I'm so appreciative of what you did. You're taking me off of the streets. I will slowly drop Cece and get, you know, Kiki as my agent. Like, I'm waiting for that bond. Lori's not giving it
I'm
to
wondering
her.
Why she's not opening up. Yeah. Because you're right. I think Candy's goal was to be like, oh my God, look at where we were.
Right.
And look at where we are now. Like, we're progressing. We're moving forward.
Yeah. Like, even just the whole, like, energy and motion of the episode, it just, like, threw it all off track for me. Like, the whole thing was going really good and people were getting pulled in and we were seeing characters evolve and stuff, and it felt really great, especially for, like, how far we are in the season. And I don't know, maybe I just am reading too much into it, but I was like, my notebook, I was like, question mark?
Yeah. I wonder if we'll find out why Lori is so standoffish and
I'm sure there has to be a reason. Well, the writing in this show is not that bad. I thought about that too, because we do get them visiting and she is forthcoming with him and just tells him, you know, everything that's going on. I think it's really because she knows that it was kind of a test.
Mm-hmm. But what did you think about that? Lori admitting that, oh, look, I have to do stuff with Larry now. Did you feel that Cece is jealous of Larry?
Oh,
did
definitely.
You felt that?
I mean, these women are objects. They're possessions to them. So it's not even like your friend or your ex. It's like a woman that you own. And, like, they sleep with all the girls, even though they have them sleep with other guys too, but not only if they pay for it. So, like, a pimp is not like another John. You sleeping with another pimp's girl, especially like their biggest girl or their, you know, bottom bitch, like, mm-mm.
Wow.
That'd be very bad. So, yeah, I think that's why. I think Lori went there not even to be like, not even for like loyalty or anything, but out of like safety. Because, like, God forbid Cece found, like, he just rolled up on the set and nobody told him that they replaced the actor.
She's smart. She is smart. She's strategic. She's planting the seeds very slowly so that she could just bounce.
Yeah, that's how I read it. So the other thing that Candy asked Frankie for is, she says, hey, I need more money. You're my producer. Go get some for me. So Frankie goes to his, you know, his
Mafia
little
family.
Yeah, his pseudo crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And asks them for money, and none of them want to pony any up. But somebody has an idea for a job. So they go and they rob a shoe truck. Only to find out that, unfortunately, the shoe truck has been robbed too many times.
So
now they only ship the left shoes on one truck and the right shoes in another truck.
Which is hilarious.
Yes, it was very funny. It was funny in a way that is like, it's almost so ridiculous that you know that this had to be true, that somebody had to be like, man, they're stealing our stuff. Yeah. How do we get around this? Well, we'll just have to ship them in two separate trucks. Like, it's so practical.
Yeah, amazing.
At the same time, it's also kind of scary. Like, there were that many stick-ups and robberies. Like, even the guy that was getting robbed, he was like, oh, here we go.
he already
knew it was going to happen.
But it's like, Frankie is such an underdog in this episode. I think moving forward, he is clutch. He's done so much for Candy. He has skills.
At the same time, no. Because as we see, even though their plan to sell the shoes fails, he ends up making a deal with Rudy after he takes him by the set to see them film for $20,000. For 25%. And when he brings the money back to Candy, he doesn't say anything about the 25%.
So the moms are going to get more involved now. Sorry.
You're fine. And literally, what else happened this episode? We see his brother, the yang to his ying, literally doing the opposite of being like, all right, I'm done. I'm trying to get out. I'm not taking the money anymore. I'm going to sever ties, whatever I have to do. So it's a very interesting change in position. But if I had to choose which brother was dealing with the mob in order to handle things safely, it would be Vince, not Frankie. So where, like, his, and for me in his episode, it's kind of like this. Yay, Frankie's doing good. No, Frankie, you did really bad. Really because bad. This is just going to come back to bite them in the
He's going in ass. Deep.
Oh, it's going to be rough.
That's just his character.
But what, though, what else can we expect from a habitual gambler?
Last thing I want to talk about the movie, obviously in the end, we're getting another, they got to reshoot that first scene that we saw in the beginning. Yeah. Getting great energy. The performance is fantastic. And as soon as I heard the siren, I knew it was going to happen. What did you guys think about that whole fiasco?
I thought it was interesting that the cops just pulled up, got out a cigarette, and were like, we're ready for this show.
Oh, I'm talking about, late at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah. when Larry hit the cop car.
Yeah, when they run him down because he's chasing Lori around.
You know, here's the thing. I felt like that was a racist thing. I think they only did.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, yes.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's the 70s. You can't run, you can't chase after a white woman down the street. No, you can't. Especially not being that dark.
Yeah, and how horrible was it when Candy was like, he didn't do anything?
And then
the
cops were like, sorry. No, but the cop said something very stupid. He said, oh, we hit him, so we have to take him. Is that some kind of, like, thing?
No, he said he's cuffed.
No, she said we hit him, so we have to take him.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They said once we hit him, we got to take him in.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
But see, that's the scene that got Frankie the money, though. Like, the mobster was so impressed.
Because he thought it was real.
Yeah.
And I think,
or he thought it was a stunt.
Yeah. I wonder if that scene is going to make it in the final cut of the porn.
You know, I think that whole area of New York is so raw and amazing. Like, even if we talk about that scene you just mentioned before this, when the cops stop them, like, up on the hill, Candy loved that. Because Candy's like, this is why I love New York. Like, they're letting us do our thing as long as they can watch.
And the last thing I want to talk about in relation to Candy and the movie and all that stuff is her decision to put herself in the movie at the end.
I know. I didn't know she was going to do that. It was a surprise to me.
I mean, I always kind of figured she would be in the movie. I feel like she kind of had to be in the movie. And I think this was a really clever way of working her into it without her having to feel like she's degrading herself or anything.
Right.
She's not doing it for that. She's doing it because she's the director and she needs to get the movie done. And sometimes when you're a director and you got to play the part because you got to get it shot. So I think doing it in that way, it's great. And then of course we get the added hilarious line of her saying, I'll do it, but it's going to be the aunt. Like, oh man, that was so good.
Oh,
that was
perfect.
Hilarious. And then they're in their scene. We get them getting ready to do their threesome.
Yeah.
Which was
with Larry.
Well, it was good.
It was good. It's just funny. Again, all of them were living on the streets, literally living off of the streets. And now they're as a family, you know, kind of upgrading.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but from this scene, we get the quote that the episode is named after.
We're all beasts.
But the full quote is, when it comes to fucking, we're all beasts. So there you go.
Yeah.
From the mouth of Candy. So it seems like that we covered the whole episode, but we didn't. There's a whole bunch of other characters to talk about. But before we do that, we are going to tell you about our wonderful network. Isn't that right, Farrah?
That is absolutely right. Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please, please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did it in the comments, and we'll give you a personal shout-out on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Make sure you check all those other shows out. And if you like what we're doing here, feel free to subscribe, give us 5 stars, give us a like, a share, a retweet, a Vine. a MySpace top 8, you know, all that good stuff. We appreciate all of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, speaking of comments in our chat room, I just want to shout out Adiola, Mariana Javier, and those two for being so committed. And Mariana did say that Candy decided to be in the film because it wouldn't cost anything.
Yep.
And Adiola said, I think Lori was standoffish because she doesn't want to remember meeting Cece and her current situation.
Oh, so true. Thank you.
Thank you, Adiola.
Because that's, see, cause there hell. You go. I never would have thought of that. I didn't even think about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Now it makes a lot more sense.
Since Adiola said that, I'm just going to go off of that for a second. Do you think maybe when Candy was telling her to remember that day when she got off the bus, maybe Lori was so standoffish because she was thinking, man, I wish when I got off that bus, I would have just kept walking past Cece. Like,
oh, yeah.
I wish I would have never been in this predicament. Whereas Candy sees this is amazing. But Lori sees this as, what did I get myself into?
Well, because also, I mean, Lori's situation is multitudes of worse. But even now that she's got a great opportunity, like, because of her situation, she can't even take fully advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you win the lottery, but you don't even get to keep the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, no, the last thing she wants to do is be reminded of, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Thank you very much. You always contribute so much to our chats. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about Bobby. We got to meet his oldest son, Joey, this episode, who is a little shithead. And was arrested for fighting in school.
How do you really feel?
I'm telling you. Also, I think he's a little racist, too. I think, yeah.
Of course. But then Bobby kind of clears it up and says, she's your boss, so you better respect her.
I mean, he clears it up in telling him, like, she's your boss, but he doesn't say, like, hey, don't use the racial slur that you use, like, 3 times in the episode.
Yeah, true. But I still felt some kind of respect. Just, you know, subtle.
I like that we got this little plot line of him trying to get Vincent to give Joey a job. It really wasn't a good idea.
Horrible idea.
But I understand why he wouldn't be like, all right, yeah, just come and work with me right away. Like, lesser of two evils definitely is the nightclub. But I think it's really interesting that it played out this way, especially the whole thing with Bobby and the mistress and the other kid, like, bringing who we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of this is groundwork for what's more to come. But what do you guys think? Do you think this is a good idea? Would you employ your child
of all the places?
No, I mean, he's upset about his son being arrested, right? But why would you bring him into this world?
The whorehouse.
That hasn't really benefited you. I mean, you were arrested the week before. I mean, other than financially, of course. But
he only got arrested the one time.
But
so.
Did you hear that comment when he said, oh, you saw me on TV, now, you know, let me show you what it's all about? Maybe the son doesn't really know what the dad does.
I think what he was saying in there, at least how I read that, was, you're like, I'm already a TV star. You already saw it. So, like, there's no point in lying or, like, hiding it or whatever. Like, because I think that was also, outside of it just not being a good place for a kid, I think the other thing was he still didn't want his kid to be around what he was doing. So I think this is part of it being like, well, F it. You already know that I work here anyways. I can't get you a job anywhere else. Just come and work here. At least then I know where you are. Plus, I don't feel like, it's definitely still a punishment having to clean those rooms.
Of course, but it's still so irresponsible because he's going to be so exposed to everything. And what will the mom say? I mean, send him to some kind of day camp somewhere. Why are you going to tag him along? Yeah. Right? Day
Horrible decision.
Don't day camps exist in New York? I'm serious.
All right. We get more Vincent Abbey this episode, finally.
Yes.
First, I want to say, I think they did a great job of showing the change in Vince this episode, especially after him witnessing the murder last episode. You can definitely see that he's shaken up this time. He's super paranoid. He sees these guys in the car and thinks that they're, like, watching him, which they could be. He even goes as far as to talk to Tommy about it because he's concerned. But all of that leading up to his talk with Abby, to me, was very important because it made it more sincere when he was saying, like, I don't want the money. I don't want to be involved in this.
Oh,
like, like when he was talking about how it all happened and how it's played out and stuff, it felt really genuine. And I I think partly because not only does he know it's morally wrong and he doesn't really want to be involved in that industry and he doesn't want to keep going, but also now he's just, you know, fucking scared because he just saw that guy get killed and he's affiliated with a mob boss and all this other stuff is going down and the law is getting involved and it's a lot of heat. So I think it's a combination of both that makes it a very sincere apology, explanation, or whatever. How did you guys feel about that from Vincent's side? We'll talk about Abby afterwards, but just from Vincent explaining himself, what did you guys think of that?
From Vincent's point of view, I think he loves Abby so much, and Abby's so opinionated and just strong right now in her life. He knows he will lose her he's gonna lose her, so he's coming clean, and he's not even taking the money. He's saying, I don't want this dirt money. I'm trying to get out, but he said, I can't. So it's also that fear, too, that I'm trying to leave this mob, but they're just so, so glued to me, and they might even try to kill him, too. So I think he's taking a step forward for their relationship with their future. He's scared as hell, but I think he's not going to get out anytime soon. They're not going to let him. That's my thing from Vincent.
Yeah, I think he definitely genuinely doesn't want to be a part of that world anymore. And I think he really loves Abby, and that's highlighted by the fact that he ultimately gives his final profit from the parlor to Abby for her cause.
Right.
Well, I mean, he gives it to Abby, and she doesn't want to take it.
But she ultimately does.
But
she
gives it to that prostitute.
So
she does to buy the ticket.
I want
to
talk about that later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But so let's talk about Abby and just that conversation. She finally, thankfully, the character is not a complete idiot.
She admits.
Acknowledges that she was being a little naive.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little late, but that was a big exhale for me because otherwise this would have been a big, major nail in the show for me.
Yeah.
Because Abby hasn't really been that great this season. And I am actually going to go so far as even to go back on what I said last week, because this episode, like, her little speech was cool. But again, her whole plot line in this season is just like David Simon saying, hey, there was activists going on now too. Mm-hmm. Like, Ashley does way more than Abby does. But anyways, it seemed like I can tell, like you guys said, I agree with you. I think Vincent really loves Abby. Mm-hmm. I can't get a read on Abby. I really don't know. Sometimes I think she does, and sometimes I don't think she does. And it's kind of scary. I don't know if that's just a really great performance. But with them, when she got up from the table, I wasn't sure how that was going to work. And then eventually we see that they did end up going to the party together. It looks like they had a nice time, you know, like dressed up nicely. But it's just a really interesting dynamic between them. As far as like relationships that we see on TV, it's very, very unique.
Abby is mentally checked out. I think she has been for a while. She's just using Vincent just for a bit right now because he is well connected right now to the pimps and stuff. And she made clear they need the pimps in order to out them. So she's being smart. She still needs to kind of belong in that little circle to do what she needs to do with Ashley. And she does have money coming in from the bar and from all that dirty money that she's utilizing.
So do you think if she's using him, how long has she been using him?
A while. I think she's been wanting to
from
leave.
From the start? Because look at how their relationship started. She just dropped out of school, just started living with him. He gave her a job.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
She's kind of, I could see, I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I could see that being a possibility.
She found her purpose through Vincent with all of this, and now she's, you know, she's going to pull the plug and leave, but not just yet. I think that's where she wants to hold on to the connection just a bit more.
I disagree. Yeah. I did foresee them breaking up last week. I did. This week, I think the fact that he came clean and admitted the fact that he's not proud of being a part of the mob scene and that he no longer wants to be, and the fact that he gave her the money, mm-hmm. I think she saw that. And if she didn't initially have strong feelings for her, I think she's going to develop them. I think she's going to bring him along, and they're going to join forces, and they're ultimately going to go against the mob, which then it's going to come full circle, because this whole thing started with Vincent and the mob united as the force. And then imagine at the end if it all ends with Vincent going against what he's doing.
Vincent and Abby against the mom.
Boom.
I see that too.
Boom.
Maybe.
I don't see that. But really? It's possible.
I see it.
It's possible. Okay. They go to Paul's event. Paul's event's cool. It looks great.
Yeah.
He's stressed out. His boyfriend tells him not to stress out. There you go. That's Paul's
plot line. That was the scene. That's exactly.
Yeah. I honestly was expecting more. They made so much of a fuss about how great it was going to look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's like a hallway with like some chandeliers. Yeah.
Very downtown, rooftop-ish.
So, yeah, real quick, last thing. We've talked about it a little bit, but Ashley and Abby. Abby gives her a speech. Mm-hmm. We see them talking to the pimps at the park. Ashley doesn't want to negotiate with the pimps. Abby is of the belief that when the girls get arrested, mm-hmm. the girls are the ones that suffer. The pimps don't actually suffer. So that if they need to negotiate with the pimps because that's what is going to make it better for the girls, then that's what they need to do.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I agree with her, but also I think that Abby has zero experience or perspective that Ashley has of being in that world, because Ashley lived it. Mm-hmm. So I'm inclined to just go along with what Ashley says. But I also know it's not feasible to just fund every girl escaping. You know what I mean? How did you guys feel about that?
Sarah?
Speechless.
I'm speechless. I don't know. You're right. I don't think it's possible to fund every girl trying to leave that town. It's nice to see that they were able to, you know, Ashley was able to get out herself, mm-hmm. and they're able to help a couple, but I don't see them being able to help everyone.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you're right. Ashley is much more seasoned and so much more ready to take on what she's trying to do versus...
But I also think part of that might cloud her judgment as well. Like, mm-hmm. she's so close and so personal that she feels for these girls, which is good. But that makes her so attached that she's like, oh, I got to get you out right now. Whereas, like, what the doctor guy was saying, it hurts to say in the moment, but it's right. Overall, they're helping more people, mm-hmm. giving out the drugs, giving out the condoms, helping with the test, using that funds to try and change the overall culture, the overall, like, larger picture things. But along the wayside, you have to let, you know, you can't help every single, and that's why I don't know if I could ever do anything like that, gosh. Because that would just be emotionally exhausting. Draining.
Like
for me.
Manually, like, getting money, yeah. sending them off, you know, you're going to spread yourself.
So they need a new tactic for sure.
From a writing perspective, though, I thought it was fantastic the way they worked that out with the money being there and them saying, we don't have the money for this, blah, 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 blah. And Abby gets up and you already know what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention they did have an insert of Vincent going to the bar and getting himself a drink and looking where the envelope would have been. So I don't know if he's going to be mad that it's gone or if it's just important that he knows that it's gone, but they made a point to show that to us. So he knows that Abby used the money for something.
Well, I mean, can we talk about the irony of the fact that that money is mob money and it's the profit is coming from the parlors and now that money is going to be used
to... Well, technically, that money's not mob money. That money is Vince's money.
Yeah. From the parlor.
Yeah, but money
that are backed by the mob.
But the parlor is not the mob. It's sex money.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Right?
Like, the irony is parlor money.
To save a prostitute.
Yes.
But if you look at the bigger picture, in the bigger picture.
Isn't that what they did, though, with Ashley in season one, too? Isn't that where she got the money?
Her dad. No, her dad gave her a blank check.
Dad gave her a blank check.
And because, you know, Abby's so cool and she doesn't need money. She just keeps it passing around. Which I always feel like, okay, don't you need some money to, like, live off of? Like, how much do you get paid by Vincent? Like, your hair and makeup and stuff.
She's running the high hat. I'm sure she's making plenty.
But,
Wow. What an episode.
Yes.
Two more left after this. Next one is going to be, I'm assuming, is going to be super intense just because it's going to be the penultimate one. Let's go into some predictions really quick.
Yeah.
You go.
Go ahead. And now, we can talk over the...
Okay.
I don't know. You go first.
Gosh, predictions. Boom, boom, boom. I feel like, I always say this, because I want this to happen. I want Lori to finally leave Cece and go to Kiki. And I think that's going to happen because we kind of saw a preview for the next episode. Stop looking at me like that. I know you're thinking something. And then, okay, Larry is really going to invest in his career. I see that elevating. And Frankie's just going to grow as a producer and gain just more wisdom. I think he's going to gain respect from people about how he's pulling through as clutch. But Candy is going to get very upset at him because he, you know, left out a major, major fact that, you know, the movie has to be given 25% to them. And then, gosh, Vincent and Abby, I think they're still going to be together. And the mob is going to make it very difficult for Vincent to leave. And, yeah. I mean, there's so much more, but, yeah.
Like I said, I think Vincent is going to join forces with Abby and Ashley and that crew for their cause to, you know, help with the prostitution and get it off the streets. I definitely foresee Lori eventually at some point getting out of that connection with Cece, whether he ends up killing her or her, you know, getting out some other way. I don't know, but something's going to happen with them, I think, next episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that they have alluded to. Personally, I don't think Vincent's going to have a problem getting out of the mob. I think Rudy's going to be like, sure. I think there's going to be some other complication that drags him back in. We've seen that his relationship with Rudy and Tommy is really good, especially since they have Frankie also as well. I don't think that they are going to necessarily need him like they did before. That being said, it's always hard to let go of people that make you money. Larry, I think the Larry being cast in the movie thing is going to be more of an issue than Candy realizes, the whole interracial thing. I'm really excited to see, like, getting the glimpse into their production phase was really great. Getting the glimpse into the post-production, shopping it around to studios, like, all of that stuff is going to be really, really interesting. Especially given that it is a pornographic film that they're trying to sell as a real movie. So those discussions are going to be very interesting, I'm sure. So that's what I'm excited about. As far as Vincent Abbey, I have no idea what's going to happen. I think you might be right. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm curious to see. I'm really hoping that Abby gets, like, a really big scene in, like, the next two episodes because I'm still really disappointed. Yeah, I think she's a really cool character, and I feel like she's being really underutilized as just...
I really think she's going to be the heroine of this whole show.
Maybe. Possible. I think that's Candy.
Yeah.
But... All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll be back again next week to talk about the next episode. You guys want to tell all the lovely people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Louisa Shar. I'm also on the Will and Grace panel Thursday nights at 7 p.m.
You can find me on Instagram at Farah_Nas_B.
And guys, you can find me everywhere where people can be found at Dog Like Nate. That's dog with two G's. Please make sure you come in and tune in next week. We're going to be right back here. Kiki should be here next week. We should have our full panel.
Yes.
If you guys have any questions or comments, you think we said something wrong or we missed something, or you just like us and you want to give us compliments, please hit us up on social media, on Twitter. Check out all the other AfterBuzz shows. We'll see you guys next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.